Lord, we lift your name this morning. Can someone say praise the Lord? Come on, say it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, we glorify your name this morning. We thank you. And we worship you, Lord. As long as we live, as long as we have this being, we will never stop praising the Lord. We will never stop worshiping the Lord. Folks, did you know? That's the one thing that's always going to continue. Even when we leave this earth and go before the Lord, we will continue to praise him. We will continue to worship. Hallelujah. So you need to get some practice right here. Someone once said, you show me somebody who doesn't know how to praise the Lord, and I'll tell you somebody who's not going to make it there. That's right. If you don't know how to praise the Lord, and you don't know how to worship the Lord, well, you might not make it there. But if you know how to worship and how to praise the beauty of holiness, oh yes, then the angels of God will be around you. Amen. Give the Lord a praise and hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. Before we get into the message this morning, I want to let you know that we will be having a naming ceremony or something after the main message. So hang in there and be with us. And next week, by the grace of the Lord, also we're having an event for Pastor Augustine's, the passing away of his mom. And, we're going to be celebrating that in conjunction with the service, right after service. She lived to be a very old age, so we thank God for that. Praise the Lord. So that's next week. Now, today is going to be for the Umeis family. We're going to be doing their naming ceremony of the youngest addition to the family. But right now, I want you to relax and enjoy the service. Praise the Lord. All right, lift up your heads where you are. Lift up your hands, and we're going to pray. The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, and let the King of glory come in. And he asks, it's kind of like a rhetorical question. Who is this King of glory? Come on, somebody. Who is the King of glory? Father, we love you this morning. Yes, indeed, you are the King of glory. And let your glory shine, not only around us, but inside of us, and beautify our lives with your glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as always, today, we know that the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine in our hearts this morning, and let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together one more time for Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. You can do better than that. Praise the Lord. Put your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have many reasons to be thankful. First of all, I want to welcome everybody to the service today. And this, of course, is GMI Church. And we welcome you here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And for everyone that's also worshiping with us virtually, either by, Facebook or whatever way you are looking, we welcome you here as well, virtually. This is beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. This is GMI Church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I am going to... There is a series that I did last year, the book of Ephesians, but I didn't really finish it. We'll finish it up in chapter 6 this morning. I'm going to do a quick recap. This morning it's going to be Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God. That's what it's going to be today. But I want to do a quick recap. Now, this book of Ephesians is one of the books that, I believe that every book in the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. I think that Paul was especially passionate about this book because of his relationship with the saints that were in Ephesus, and he brought, and he brought a lot of truths out of there by the Holy Spirit. Now, in chapter 1, we talked about who you are in Christ. Amen. Does anybody know who they are in Christ? Well, you know, it's very important that you know who you are in Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, you are no longer a slave to sin, and you are no longer a sinner if you have given your life to Christ. Amen. The Bible, throughout the books of the epistles, they always address the letter to the saints. The saints that are in this place and the saints that are in that place. So the saints that are in the book, you know, that he addressed even to the book of Ephesians. So there's a lot of things in that first chapter talked about how God predestinated us before the beginning of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in chapter 2, I'm going to go through that very quickly. Chapters 2 and 3, we talked about, you know, being now fellow citizens of the commonwealth of Israel. We're no longer strangers. When you come in, it used to be that God said Israel was my people and everybody else were the Gentiles. Well, you know, he has broken down that wall of partition. Amen. He took care of that, you know. So now, you know, those Gentiles that believed by faith and came into Christ, they are, you know, grafted into the same commonwealth, and we have the same benefits and everything, every promise that you see in that Bible, you know, works for the saints as well. Now, in chapter 4, that was chapters 2 and 3. I just lumped them together. In chapter 4, we talked about the what we might call the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, how all the gifts that God poured out through Christ when he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men and brought forth those, you know, ministries and so forth of apostleship, you know, prophet, you know, he's got all things in there. He's got the, you know, evangelist, he's got the pastor, he's got the teacher, he's got all of that, you know. So, but it's all for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and all that, until we come to the fullness, the unity of the faith, first of all, and the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. So we talked about that. Chapter 5, we talked about some other things for families and walking in love. Walking in love between children and parents, masters and servants, husbands and wives, and all of these things and so forth. And now, today, chapter 6, hallelujah, we are going to be talking about putting on the full armor of God. Or you can call it the whole armor of God. And for the young people, let me say it to you this way. Time to suit up. Praise the Lord. Some of them who watch Marvel and all that, they may understand that. It's time to suit up, folks. Amen. We are in a spiritual warfare. All the time. Don't you ever forget it. Now, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and with garments rolled in blood. But this one that you are in shall be with the burning of fuel and by the power of my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. It's not going to be, this is not the armor of flesh. Some part of that was given by prophecy, another part was taken from the scriptures. Put up, if you will, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 5. Isaiah 9 and verse 5. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood. But this battle that you guys are in, it's not by the battle of flesh. It's not that kind of battle, folks. It's with a burning and a fuel of fire, and they're going to be by the power and the might of the Holy Spirit and the force of spiritual arms. Amen. Now, so let's read. And we, you know, even when we did chapter 5, we read into some of chapter 6 and so forth like that. So now I am going to pick this up. I'm going to try to finish this very quickly. So you have to move with me very quickly in the back when they're putting up the scriptures so we can go through this very quickly. I will start today at Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to start from about verse 10. Now, you know, so we're going to be talking about putting on the whole armor of God. You know, what is it? And why should we do it? And what does it mean? Well, as a preamble, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 or so, Paul begins to tell Timothy that you are a, you know, soldier, you know. You are a soldier. Verse 3, you know. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then verse 4 tells you that, look, if you are, put on verse 4, please. Hello, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So we see that he's talking about, you know, you are a believer. If you are a believer, you are a soldier. Amen. You're not just, you know, passing through, just coasting along. No, 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 no. You are a soldier, and it's time for you to suit up. You can't go into battle. You know, if you don't suit up, you're going to get wounded. You know, so we're going to be talking about that today. So that's the reason why we suit up. And here's what we're going to be suiting up with. And you can't put this in the Old Testament. I don't have time today to go into it. But in the Old Testament, he talked about, look, you got to put on certain things, you know, like the breastplate and so forth. It should not come off. It should stay on. You know, the light and the fire and so forth, they burn, must be perpetually burning. You know, a lot of these things were a type. You know, this armor is not the one you put on and put off. There is no putting on and putting off. Amen? Amen? Amen. You put on this armor and it stays on. Hallelujah. And we're going to be talking about it today. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're back to Ephesians now. Now, we don't want you, God doesn't want you to be feeble in the Lord. Amen? Don't let devil play ping pong with you. Be strong in the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, ye young men, I have written unto you because you are strong. And you have overcome the devil. You know, so don't be weak. You know, and if you are weak, let him that is weak say, I am strong. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you're going to find out how to be strong as part of this message. You know, God has already given us the strength. It's not physical strength. It's not the battle of garments enrolled in blood and all of that. It's the one that comes by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That's the reason why you got to do it. You got to put on the old armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks. Amen? You know, some people say, well, you know, this person is doing this, that person is doing this. Well, they may be doing that, but I'm going to show you the forces that are behind that person doing that. It's not really them that's doing that. It's these things. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness. I mean, these things are wicked, folks. I've talked about it multiple times, you know. You're going about, you know, everything's going good, and something happens all of a sudden to aggravate you, or to bring tragedy, or to bring sorrow, or to bring, you know, some kind of, you know, just disrupt the peace that you may have. But I'm talking about peace. I want you to know that peace is not necessarily the absence of trouble. That's good. That's part of it. But the peace that God gives is in spite of trouble. Amen. Even in the midst of trouble. Hallelujah. When everything else is going chaotic, then you still have peace. Amen. Yeah. When the tempest is around you in the boat and everybody's screaming, Lord, we are perishing. You are laying down the back of the boat sleeping. Amen. Because you already prayed up. And you knew the storm was coming. And you knew the storm was going to pass. But those who didn't pray, when he told them to pray, they were eating, busy eating and so forth. And they were happy that Jesus was defending them for eating all the time. And then when the time came, they were panicking. See, when you are faced with trouble and you panic, something is missing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, principalities, power, spiritual wickedness, and happy rulers of the darkness of this world. Remember, the darkness of this world. We are children of the light, folks. Amen. These things cannot rule over you. You are not under darkness. Amen. But that being said, you've got to take your place in the fight. Amen. I say dog fight, folks. I mean, this thing, you know, you cannot sit on the fence in this battle at the end. The battle is in your mind. You're going to see that in a bit. The battle is around you. The battle is everywhere. And if you sit on the fence, you are going to get seriously wounded. Wounded, and you have to pick up the pieces. And some folks may have to help you pick up the pieces and so on, you know. But today, let's put on the full armor of God. Amen. Now, here is the armor. In order for you to be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil in the evil day. And I tell you, folks, we are in the evil day. And if you think the evil is over, think again. You know, we are in the evil day. But when you do these things, you'll be able to stand. Amen. Stand therefore. The first thing is this. You know, stand therefore, having your loins girded about. It's like you put on a girdle, you know. So Paul was probably, I don't know, might have been in prison, might have been looking at those Roman soldiers, might have seen how they were clad, you know, and so forth. And then he was just describing it. And when they want to suit up, you know, they put on the girdle, right? Praise God. Put on that girdle. Then they put on the breastplate and so on, you know. When they put on that breastplate, they put on their shoes, you know. And then put on their shoes, well, maybe they take on the shield and so forth. When they take the shield, then maybe they put on the helmet. And when they put on the helmet, then they take the sword. Praise the Lord. And Paul was looking at all this and said, my lands, you know, I wish that believers would be like this. That they would have this kind of armor that these people have. And you know those shields, we'll come to it in a minute. They'll tell you how big, you know, and how strong they are. Now, listen to this. The first thing is put on around your loins, you know, truth. And what is truth? John chapter 17 and verse 17. It says, sanctify them, Lord. This is what Jesus praying. Sanctify them, Lord, by your what? Your truth. Because thy word is truth. Now, that's the truth. Now, we're talking, there's a difference between facts and truth. We've talked about that before, but I don't have time to go today. But God's word is truth. And Jesus said himself, John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. You can't do it, folks. Now, listen to this. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, it is the truth that you know that makes you free. Yeah, the truth by itself doesn't make you free unless you know the truth. Because God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, people don't know what God has already done for them. They don't know who they are in Christ. So the devil plays ping pong with your life. You know, or you don't take your position, or you don't enforce the victory that God already did for us through Christ, then you are going to be on the losing end of the battle. You know, but when you know the truth, hallelujah. And also, if you know the word of God, somebody can't come and bamboozle you with nonsense, and then you just take it. You know the word of God. Amen. Praise God. You know, so you know the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, that's the truth. That's the word of God. That's the thing. First thing you put on. Make sure you have that on. Hallelujah. The next thing you want to put on is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that's breastplate. You know, in the olden days, they, you know, used to throw out, you know, shoot arrows and so on and so forth. You know, those arrows can bounce back. You know, put on that breastplate of righteousness. Today, maybe they put on the, bulletproof vest or whatever it is. I don't know. You know, but put it on. Amen. Protect that part. You know, you see all this stuff that's protected. You know, you see as he describes this whole armor, the only part that he does not have an armor for is your back. God's got your back. Amen. And God doesn't want you to be running away. You know, get in the fight, folks. You know, if you turn your back against the devil, he's going to get you. You know, I mean, he's going to get you. You know, now that's different from, because somebody say, well, but the scripture says, you know, flee from sin. You know, this, that's different. You know, when you are in the fight, you don't flee. Praise God. You know, you win the battle, every battle, and eventually Christ wins the war for us. Amen. He's already won the war, but he's going to come back and settle it once and for all eventually. Now, let's look at this. The breastplate of righteousness. It is not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. I'm going to move very quickly now. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says that you got to put up that scripture for me quickly. For he had made him, Christ, to be seen, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, it's like trading places. Jesus was the all righteous one. He knew no sin. But God put upon him all the sins of the world so that he might transfer the righteousness of God from him to us. Amen. And if you recognize that, you walk in that righteousness. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Philippians 3 verse 9. Paul is talking about knowing what Christ has done for him. He said, look, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Now, that's good, but it's not good enough. But having that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Amen. So the righteousness that you must put on is the righteousness that comes by faith in believing what Christ already did for us. Amen. Now, put on the boots. The next thing, I've covered two already. The next thing, there's about seven things here. As you mentioned that, there's seven pieces of this armor. The first one we talked about was putting on the girdle of truth. The next one was breastplate. The third one now is put on the boots, you know, of the preparation of the gospel of Christ. This is so necessary for a lot of Christians have put off these boots today. You know, they put up the boots. They don't know what it means anymore. But listen to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. He says, you know, and the same thing, you know, Paul would refer to it again in Romans chapter 10, you know, and verse 15. But let's read it in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. You know, that's your feet right there. You got to take the gospel, folks. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every chance you get, put in a good word for the Lord. Amen. You know, so that's your feet. You know, these things, why is sharing the gospel a part of your armor? Well, because it puts you on your toes. Hallelujah. Because, you know, like my wife said this morning, you are epistles read of all men. You know, so in sharing the gospel, it also brings joy into your life. Amen. Now, let me move on. Same thing in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, but I won't read that. Now, come back to Ephesians. And I want to read this to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, we are reading this. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, why does he say it like that? Above all, taking on the shield of faith. Amen. Now, that shield of faith, boy, it can quench anything that the devil will throw at you. Amen. By which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And they used to have this thick shield, 6 inches or so thick of steel. And you put it up there, you hide it behind that thing. You know, praise God. Even today, when you see the riot police and so forth, like they have the shield, they have all these things they're hiding behind and so on. You know, you get on, you know, you put on the armor of God. Get that shield in place and quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. He throws at you this way, you block it. Amen. He throws it at you that way, you block it. Amen. You deflect it, you block it, and so forth like that. You know, and you just move on. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever seen when you throw water on the back of a duck? They just shake it off and they move on. Praise the Lord. Faith. But, you know, Bible says, you know, whosoever breaks a hedge, a serpent will come in and bite. Now, if you punch a hole in that shield, it's like the force field. The force field is around you. It's shield of faith. You know, you can use that to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. But how do you get that faith? You know, by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, the helmet of salvation is the next thing. Boy, you know, this teaching like this is actually for believers, you know. So if you don't understand the message of salvation, now it's a good time. Or if you have not given that, you know, your life over to the Lord in that kind of relation. I'm talking about coming to church. Coming to church is great, you know. But making that commitment, that personal commitment to the Lord for him to guide you through your life and for him to be your Lord and you're no longer your own, you know, that's what the helmet of salvation does. And you see that he doesn't talk too much about it because the scripture is full of it. You know, I mean, it's everywhere. It's replete with messages about, you know, turning our lives to Christ and so on. That's the whole reason that Christ came. And then you take on the sword of the Spirit, which is number 6. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It tells you. You don't have to guess. It tells you right here. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That goes back to number 1 that we talked about before. That word, you know, how may a young man cleanse his way? You know, by taking heed according to thy word. I challenge everybody at your spare time, read all of Psalm 119. The whole of it is very long, over 160 verses. But, you know, it is punctuated by the efficacy, I mean, of the word of God. How powerful the word of God is. It's almost in every one of those verses. You know, I don't have time to go through it today, you know, but the word of God, he even says, look, when I got a hold of your word, it's even better than somebody that won a lottery, you know. He said that somebody that won or found treasures, like winning lottery. He said, look, it's better, you know, these things. You know, that's how you cleanse your word. That's how you take, you know, that's how you do these things. That's how you get a victory. Amen. And we've preached on this before. You know that it, you know, your answers are quicker in coming when you are praying according to the word of God. Amen. Now, if you find a promise in the word of God and you meet the premise, then your answers are quicker in coming. You know, now you can pray about anything that you want. And if God has said it, if God has not said it, well, maybe you get it, maybe you don't get it. I don't know. But if you find what God has said, hallelujah. I'm not talking about just pray about, you can pray about anything. People pray about all kinds of things. You know, whether they get it or not, I don't know. But you find what God already said in his word. And you go to God and say, Lord, you already said this. Hallelujah. So now, God is bound by his word. That's right. You know, he's not bound by anybody's, you know, just praying and so forth. That's good. You should pray. But you pray according to his word. You tell him what he already told you. Now, when you tell him what he already told you, and you know, that's how all these great people prayed in the Bible. You know, Moses, when God was going to destroy the children of Israel and so forth because of, their waywardness and going after the golden calf and all these things. And God said, let me wipe them off. And Moses said, let me tell you something, Lord. I'm going to remind you what you said. I'm going to remind you what you said to Abraham. And I'm going to remind you what you said to Isaac. And I'm going to remind you what you said to Jacob. Praise God. You know, now, are you going to now let the people say because their God can't take care of them or he can't keep his word? See, when you put it to God like that, praise God. You got God like, the Lord already knew that, of course, that Moses was going to do all of that. He put all that in the scriptures for our benefit. But we learn from it. When you use the word of God in prayer, you know, to challenge God and say, Lord, that which you have spoken by your mouth, let it be verified in my life. Once you put it like that, or your enemies are around about you and you have no power. And then you turn your eyes to the Lord like Asa and Hezekiah and all this will say, our eyes are upon you. And then you say, you know, and the enemy say, look, look at all the kingdoms of these people. We've destroyed them. They can't stand against us. We've turned their, you know, countries upside down and so forth. Then you go to the Lord and say, yes, of a truth, they did all of that, but those were no gods. Amen. And you say, thou art the God, the very God, that sitteth between the cherubims. Let it now be known that you are the God in heaven and that ruleth upon the earth. Now, when you begin to tell God what he has already said and what he knows about himself, and you begin to tell it to God, he stands up. Hallelujah. The Bible said, David, read all of it in Psalm 18. David was a man that knew how to do that. You know, he knew how to do that. And when David did it, Bible said that, look, the Lord stood up. He blasted with his nostrils. He thundered from the heaven. And I said in one message, I said, can your prayer do that? Do you have power with God like that? Can you make God thunder from heaven over your enemies? Praise God. Now remember, your enemies, they are spiritual forces. We're not talking human beings. Spiritual forces. Forces that are trying to get your children. Amen? Are you going to let the enemy get your children? You've got to get in the fight, folks. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when you know how to put God's word to challenge God, your miracle is already on the way. That's much better than just praying something in the air. You know, Paul said, look, I don't fight like shadow boxing. I don't do shadow boxing. I know my target. Amen. I know my target. Now, shadow boxing may be good if you're exercising. That's good. I do that sometimes. But forget that. We're talking about, you know, real stuff. You know, when you know your target, you got to know your target, folks. If you think your target is the person on your job that's hassling you and so forth, then you are wasting time. You know, there are spiritual forces. There are wickedness, you know, that are trying to frustrate you, you know, to steal your joy, to destroy your dreams, to kill you and do all of this. That's what the devil comes to do, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah, it's not some human being. Forget those, you know. So you put on the whole armor. Hallelujah. And the last piece is prayer. Amen. Now, he said, praying always with all prayer. Now, I've already ventured into talking about prayer. Even Daniel and many of these people, you know, I've talked about Moses already, how he used, you know, prayer. You know, I've talked about, you know, Daniel and so forth. He made prayer a business with God. He was always there when it was time. Even the psalmist said, 7 times a day, I'm there. Praise the Lord, prayer, and so on. You know, they would not miss that hour of prayer. Amen. I know there are some religions that are even more religious about prayer than the saints of God. You know, they won't miss that hour of prayer. But today, prayer, oh, no. That's the last thing that people want. Well, a prayerless Christian is what? A powerless Christian, folks. Elijah was a man of like passion. In the book of James, chapter 5. You know, and he prayed. And you know something, folks? After that, God told Elijah that rain was coming. I don't have time to read it, but I'm going to just paraphrase it for you. After that, God told Elijah that rain was coming, and Elijah told Ahab to go and eat and drink and sent everybody else away. Did Elijah go and eat and drink? Elijah went up to the mountain. God already told him rain is coming, but he's not going to just let it be. Amen. He's going to pray that rain down. You know, so folks, just because God promised you something doesn't mean you're going to get it if you don't know how to pray it through. Because if the devil has something to do about it, he's going to make sure you don't get it. But if you know how to use prayer, coupled with praises, high praises of God, oh my, you know, when you know how to do that, you got a victory already on your side. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Now, Elijah, he got in there and he prayed. He put his head between his knees. He began to pray, folks. Oh, my. And he said, go check it out. And they said, well, I don't see anything. Go check it out again. I don't see anything. Finally, he said, yeah, I see a cloud like a man's. I said, yeah, that's it. Amen. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Now, the master himself Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. You know, Jesus never told us to do anything that he himself can't do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that's how I raise my kids. You know, I tell them to do something, I'll do 3/4 of it myself. You know, everything. When Jesus said, do this, he already did it. In Luke 22 and verse 44, can you put that up for me? Luke 22 and 44. The Bible says that he was praying. Is somebody in the back showing the scriptures or are they falling asleep? You know, Luke 22:44. It saves me time so I don't have to flip my scriptures. But anyway, Jesus, you know, 44, verse 44. Jesus was praying and blood. He was sweating blood, folks. Yeah, I'm sweating a little bit here because of all these lights. But I tell you, when Jesus was praying, he was sweating blood. Read it yourself. If you've never read this scripture, read it right there. And Jesus, being in agony, he prayed even the more earnestly. And his sweat was as a great drops of blood coming down from the ground. Now, do you know what Jesus was praying about? Was for you to be sitting in these seats today. He prayed to get you out of the kingdom of darkness. He prayed. He saw, the Bible said, look, it's a pearl of great price. He saw that pearl of great price and he went for the gold. He went for it and he would not be deterred. He was going to get every last one of the saints. Hallelujah, somebody. And man, it was a battle. And the devil probably came to you and said, look, come on. You know, don't worry about those people. You know, they are lost cause. Jesus said, I will lose none of them. I will raise them up on the last day. All that my Father has given me, I will lose none of them. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus will lose none of his people, folks. Now, if you're not walking in the light, you know, you may stray away and devil will, you know, deal with you. But God will find a way. He'll get you back. Now, he's married to the backslider, folks. Now, if you're backsliding here this morning and you say, well, you know, is it time for you to come? Now, what is coming, folks? What is coming next? The line is going to be drawn. I'm going to tell you right now. You know, well, maybe we'll save it for later. But the line is going to be drawn, folks. You are either going to put on this full armor in order to win. And we want you to win every battle. Amen. Not win some, lose some. Uh-uh. Win every battle. Praise the Lord. Little or great. But you got to do it with putting on the full armor of God. Now, in closing, here's what we have said today. First, we've done a review of the previous chapters. And to close out this book of Ephesians, we're talking about this great last chapter, which gets you ready for the final onslaught at the end of the age. Now, remember that every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and with garments rolled in blood. But this one is going to be by the burning and fuel of fire, and it's going to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not going to be by the arm of flesh, folks. You cannot win the battle that is coming. And we're already in it, but it's going to get even worse, you know. But for the elect of God, because, you know, you can put it this way. The battle was already won for us. We are just now enforcing the victory. Amen. Now, so don't let the devil tell you anything. Jesus already defeated the devil. He made an open show of principalities and powers. He nailed even the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. He nailed it to the cross. So don't let anybody come and bring your past up in your face again. You know, if you have confessed your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's in the past. Amen. He wants you to have a new life. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Now, if you understand that message and the need to put on the whole armor of God, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you cannot preach this message in 40 minutes like I've done. It'll take you 3 hours at least to preach a message like this. I mean, even me, it's what I'm not saying somebody else. I'm saying to do justice to it. But just kind of rushed it through on account of time. But you get the gist. You know, you got to put on the full armor of God. Amen. Don't be exposed. Don't be exposed. Don't let the devil. You remember Goliath? I didn't have this in my message. And as I said, the Holy Spirit just brought it to my mind. Goliath was exposed. He had the armor everywhere, but right here on his forehead, that place was exposed. And David, he targeted that, zeroed in on it. Hallelujah. And he got that sling. He put it right smack down on that place that was exposed. And down went Goliath. Don't be exposed, folks. Have the full armor of God upon you. There's all kinds of ways that you can be exposed. I don't have time to go into it, but I'm going to mention it. There are the little foxes that spoil the vine. There are some things that will eat away at your armor. You know, they're like bitterness, backbiting, unforgiveness, and all these things. They'll eat it like a canker. They're like acid. You pour acid. You have this great metal and so forth. You pour acid in it. It will just corrode and eat away. Now, all these works of the flesh will eat at your armor, folks. And then you will be exposed. Now, if you are in here this morning, we don't want to do a service like this and not give people a chance to make things right. If you are in here this morning, say, well, gee, I'm hearing about this stuff for the first time. That's good. Well, you heard about it. Amen. Praise God. Better first time than never. You know. Now, you say, well, you know, the devil's been playing ping pong with my life, you know, and so on. Well, you have a responsibility in that as well. It's your life. Don't give it to the devil. Give it to the Lord. Amen. So you are the servant of whomsoever you obey. If you obey sin, you obey the devil. If sin comes knocking at your door, you open the door, you follow, you are the servant of sin. It's that simple. But if you yield your heart to the Holy Spirit, you are also the servant of the Lord. Now, you say, I want to give my life to Christ. You're new here this morning. You say, well, I don't, you know, this is, you know, I like the sound of that. You know, I want to enjoy some of those benefits, you know, and so forth. That's the first step. You give your life to Christ. And if you're listening also or watching online or wherever, it's the same thing. You know, Jesus, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's closer than your breath. He's just a prayer away. You know, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And unto them that call upon him, say, it shall come to pass that everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Now, if you want the Lord to get a hold of your life, you want to turn it over to him, you know, I'm going to give you a chance today. You know, in the presence of everybody that's here, you just step forward. I say, yep, I'm taking a commitment. You know, people don't like to do that. When you put them on the spot like that, they won't do it. Well, Bible says, if you are ashamed of me, I will also be ashamed of you. But if you confess me before men, I also will confess you before the angels. So you come on down if you want that kind of thing. I want to make that commitment for the Lord today. But also, if you say, Lord, help me. I've put on this armor before, but there are holes in my armor. You know, armor is eating away because of unforgiveness, because of vainglory, because of bitterness, because of, you know, whatever. All the foxes and the works of the flesh that's eating your armor away. And say, Lord, renew me. You know, do a new thing in my life once again. And if that's you, I want you also to come for prayer. I'm going to make a very short, quick prayer. I don't have time to pray for everybody today, one by one. But come on, and we'll pray. And if you say, Lord, you know, I want to make sure that I fight a fight of victory. And I want to be on the winning side. If that's you also, you step forward and I'm going to pray. I'm going to just give you a minute and do it quickly because we have very little time. And if nobody comes, I'll just pray for you where you are. You know, and I know usually when there are folks like this, some folks, you know, are shy, they don't want to do it and so forth. But I want everybody to lift up your hands. That's power. When you step forward, you know, God causes those chains to fall. Lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone that's here today that has heard this message or this short teaching. And also for those that are watching virtually, online, or wherever, or listen to this later on, I ask, O Lord, that you will have revelation, that they will have revelation, and they will have understanding. And they will know what it means and why we need the full armor of God. And you'll help everyone to put on this full armor and not to take it off. And that we will fight the good fight of faith, and that we will win every battle in the name of the Lord Jesus, because Jesus already won for us. Father, we thank you. And for those that say, Lord, I want to commit my life to Christ, but you know, I don't want to step forward in front of this crowd or so forth like that. Father, touch their hearts wherever they are in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just go to the Lord just as you are. And the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Lord, we give you the praise and give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise team, come on up. Praise team, come on up. We're going to do a very short rally, because I'm going into the dedication service right after this. But I want the praise team to come back up. We're going to do a very short rally. And we're going to do the dedication right after that. So during this time, you have one more chance to just reflect on the goodness of the Lord and what you have heard today. And I see that they're passing out envelopes. What that's all about is, if you want to give an offering, that's fine. They have some baskets out here. You can do that. And while they are singing, you can come and do that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to the praise team. We're going to have a short rally. And then right after that, don't go away, we're going to have the naming ceremony. Praise the Lord.